The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shryan. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you. Yes, another My Music programme, with the cast unchanged to protect the innocent. It means the questions will be answered by Ian Wallace and his partner, Dennis Norden, opposing David Franklin and his partner, Frank Muir. First round, then. And these pieces of music, gentlemen, are all in waltz time. 3/4 time. Or, of course, they have it in the American colonies, 3/4 time. Ian, where does this waltz come from? Or perhaps we should call it a minuet.
Well, I'm very lucky because I have a small son who is devoted to Mozart, and we have a good deal of Mozart currently at home, and that's one of the bits of Mozart that we sometimes have, because it comes from that lovely piece that all is, it's the one bit of German in music that every British person knows how to pronounce. Yes. Eine kleine Nachtmusik.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. Which movement, do you know?
No. Not offhand. I know it's not the first.
No.
It might be the third.
Yes, it is the third movement. It's the You got it, and you get a mark for that. Dennis, here's yours.
When I want a melody building through the house, then I want a melody. My
Strauss.
Thank you. One mark to Dennis Dorden. Yes.
By Gershwin.
Yes, by two Gershwins.
George and Ira Gershwin.
Yeah, and sung there by...
Oh, I was too busy trying to find out what the tune was.
Ella Fitzgerald. Right, you got your mark. David, where does this waltz come from?
This is by the composer who was the first to use a xylophone in the symphony, isn't it?
I don't know, is it? It's interesting.
No, I refer to Mahler. Was it Mahler?
Mahler, yes. Yes, you're right. I didn't know that about the xylophone. Yeah. How interesting.
Yeah. Well, just one of the things I have to learn from Mahler.
I guess it would be from a later symphony than this one, though.
Ah, that's a clue.
Yes.
That must be number one.
Yes. Which
and
movement?
Obviously he's not going to start with a waltz.
No.
I think it's a fair bet that it's the second movement.
Absolutely right. From the second movement of Mahler's First Symphony in D, composed in 1891, in case you were going to ask me, but you weren't. You get a mark. Frank, whose waltz tune is this?
Yes, you got it.
Yes, this is a ballet, Russian ballet.
Yes.
And its name of the ballet is Petrushka.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Was that right, madam? And that, I think, answers your question, Steve.
Would you like to close your eyes so you can't see the audience and tell me who composed it, which was, after all, the question?
They tell me to close my eyes, you have to whisper it.
Well, no.
Stravinsky.
Yeah, of course. Of
Ivan
course.
Stravinsky.
Wolfgang Amadeus Stravinsky, you were going to say, weren't you?
Johann Sebastian.
Stravinsky's right.
Mozart.
This next round is all about pianos. Ian, what are the correct names for the two pedals found on most pianos?
Loud and soft.
No. No, those are not the correct names. I'm sorry, but they're really not. You've fallen into the trap.
Well, those are what I call them.
Ah.
Therefore, I have heard people talk about a sustaining pedal.
I have to make this point. I get a lot of letters otherwise. It is very definitely not the loud pedal. It doesn't make the music louder. It sustains.
It makes it sustain.
It's the soft pedal and the sustaining pedal, and I must give you only half a mark, I'm afraid, out of one.
The other one, just out of interest. I mean, I would hate to know something and not disseminate it. I've heard the soft pedal described as damping.
Yes,
the damping pedal.
Yes, damping
that pedal. Does not mean that there are sprinklers.
No.
Just
funnily
the
enough,
sound.
That bears on the next question, because for you, Dennis, the question is: where would you find an under damper?
There's no good saying on a baby grand, is it?
It's a lot of good saying it.
And if the soft pedal is the damping pedal, there's no possibility of a third pedal if you buy the sort of deluxe model. You wouldn't get... It isn't sort of an optional extra or something.
Well, it is, and there are third pedals, but they don't have anything to do with under-damping. Really.
It's merely the overdrive.
Yeah. Well, you would find it somewhere round the soft pedal, I would say. If you're saying, where would you find it in the sense of if you were looking for it?
Does it mean a bit of felt that comes up under the strings when the soft pedal is put down?
You're on the right sort of lines. I think I can give Dennis half a mark for saying on a baby grand, although it's absolutely the opposite of the truth, but the audience would like me to give him half a mark. You would find an underdamper on an upright piano where the dampers are lower than the hammers. Hammers strike and the dampers are lower, and that's an underdamper. You got half a mark, Dennis. David, what is an overstrung piano?
Piano that gets terribly excited
when you play Liszt. Yes.
It's that business of stringing, yes. Two sets of strings, one above the other.
Yes. Could you
imagine to improve the resonance?
Yes, really. Overstrung piano, one in which one large group of wires is made to cross another large group more or less diagonally. It enables the maker to achieve longer strings in less space.
You've taken the words out of my mouth.
Well, you know, you took... No, sir, you took them out of mine.
But you wouldn't
lift. You've got a mark. Frank Muir, have you a piano nobile in your house? And if so, where is it?
Nobile?
Piano nobile.
Look, you and the nobile.
It's piano nobile is a rather posh way of saying a nobbled piano. If you disconnect the pedals, when you pedal, you push the damper in and you pull the damper out, but the sound goes up the chimney just the same. It is a piano which has been tampered with. Nobile, Italian, early Italian for nobbled. Or...
Yes, I think regardless of the truth...
A noble piano.
...matter, the audience would like me to give you half a mark out of one, wouldn't you?
Noble piano.
No.
A noble piano. Not just an ordinary piano, but a noble one.
No.
One with a little bit of lace along the top. And a pewter picture.
Photograph of Queen Victoria on the top.
No, yes. Containing an uncle of quality.
I'll tell you something interesting. That your house, I happen to know, has... a piano nobile, and David's house has not got a piano nobile.
Mine has the most distorted, twisted piano. It was given us by a lady who wished to have the space in her barn back. It cannot be nobile. It's nobbled.
Well, I...
Nibbled?
Would you
nibbled
like,
by cows.
Would you like me to tell you? Piano nobile is the Italian architectural term for the first floor. That's all. David lives in a bungalow and hasn't got one, and you live in a house and have got a piano nobile. It's as simple as that.
How'd you get it upstairs?
The two chats went,
come on.
Not for the first time in this series, the answer's infinitely more boring than any of the answers you gave. Some odds and ends of technical musical knowledge now. Ian, what is... covered tone.
Now that's something one can really only illustrate vocally.
Be my guest.
It is the difference between what we call open tone, which is sort of ha like that, with covered tone. Nobody ever could explain to me what you cover it with.
Are you open to suggestions?
But it's something to do really with the soft palate and various other parts of the resonating equipment. And the difference between covered tone and open tone is if you go up uncovered, in a vocal sense, it is ha, as opposed to ha, which has told you nothing at all. I haven't conveyed it at all well, but it is a way of describing the tone at the top sounding less cruel and harsh than it otherwise would.
Oh, come, come. It wasn't as bad as that. Very good, yes. The vocal quality, it says here, produced when the voice is pitched in the soft palate, more veiled in timbre than open tone. Good, Ian. Dennis, where would you find sympathetic strings?
Well, as you know, there is a lot of trouble, industrial trouble, within large orchestras these days. And you very often get the brass section coming out on strike for more money. And when you do, you will find the violinists gathered round the management's door playing We Shall Overcome. These are known as sympathetic strings. Or, I can only presume it's something to do with the word that Ian just said about resonators or
yes,
something,
right.
And it's strings which which make a sort of sympathetic sound resonating in some way. I haven't the faintest idea what...
Oh, no, you have.
I won't illustrate it for you, as Ian can do.
You have a very good idea. Extra strings to resonate in sympathy with those plucked or bowed. You'd find them on a sitar or on a viola d'amore, if you really pushed it a bit.
If I knew what a viola d'amore was, I would go out tomorrow and look.
David, when it says 10 over a note, what are you supposed to do?
This is a very crisp, professional way of indicating that at that point the singer or the instrumentalist counts up to 10 on that very note.
Because it's a very strange effect.
Sorry?
Make for some very strange effects, but go on. Yes.
Well, it's an abbreviation of tenuta, which means that the note must be held out for its full value.
Absolutely right. Yes. Hold it. Linger on it. Yes. Frank, who can dance the Fackle Dance?
Well, I've been getting all the easy ones in this these last four programmes, so I'm just going to pretend that this is a little baffling. A fickle focal fackle, frequently. Or, it's a dance, is it?
Yes, the Fackle Dance, F-A-C-K-E-L.
F-A-C-K-E-L.
I must admit, it's one of those questions that went in not because you'd know it, but because the answer is so interesting.
Well, I hate to part you from the pleasure in giving an interesting answer. Except anybody with the faculty to dance it could dance it. But apart from that, I have nothing further to add.
Well, you can afford to drop a mark for the interest of hearing me tell you that only princes of the choicest royal blood are permitted to dance the Fackle Dance. It's a 19th century dance done with torches. Queen Victoria was very scornful at being asked once to approve a marriage between one of her daughters and a young continental prince who, she said, could not dance the Fackle Dance. In other words, he wasn't eligible.
What is it? So don't mind the conditions obtaining for those. What is it?
It's a dance done with torches and only by princes of the royal blood. Isn't that interesting? The score at the moment is a tie between all four. Let's see if you can identify well-known pieces of music simply from their first two notes, or perhaps two chords. Ian, yours is just two melody notes, totaling two bars in all. Composer.
It sounds like a waltz.
Yes.
It sounds like a sad waltz.
Yes. And that's the finish of it. Never mind.
How do you mean that's the finish?
I'm trying to help you. I mustn't make that mistake.
Sibelius.
Yes, Finnish composer was what I was after. Yes, so you have the answer. The title is
Valse Triste
by Sibelius. 2 marks. Dennis, you'll hear an introductory guitar chord, which is sort of a bonus, and then the first 2 notes of the tune. Then my question. The title, please, and if you can, the name of the band leader. Would you like to...
No, I can't.
Would you like to
you
hear
know, Sammy Davis wrote a book called about his life story called Yes, I Can. I will now write a book called No, I
yes.
Can't.
You don't even want to hear it again, do you? You just...
I don't think it would help, actually. I mean, I've got plenty of time. If you
Manifesto Platter.
I'll play you a bit on my little instrument here. It goes on...
Yeah, I don't know the name of it, but I know who does that, and also does that little bit, does very little more than that all the way. That's Count Basie.
Yes.
Does that.
Yes.
And he just comes in occasionally and just touches the piano, and then the brass
yes.
goes like the clappers,
he
and
goes.
He touches. That's it. Yeah.
That's right. Lovely. Yes. I will give you one mark, because I asked you the name of the band leader, and you got it. Count Basie Orchestra, the tune Little Darling, written by Neil Hefti. So that's 1 out of 2. David, for you, 2 piano chords interspersed by 2 bass notes.
Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto number 2.
Thank you. The very start off, and you're right. 2 marks to you. Frank, for you, 1 drum roll, 1 chord.
Save our grace. Oh, it's or. Oh, it's Scottish. It's the Grieg Piano Concerto.
Thank you, yes. In A minor, and you've got 2 marks. Some miscellaneous music questions. Ian, what do you know about Divinities of the Styx?
This is Willibald.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Willibald Gluck.
Gluck.
Or
yes.
Gluck.
Yes.
Probably. An opera called Alceste that was performed with tremendous success at Glyndebourne on alternate nights from when I was singing, because Alceste was not my sort of opera. And
whatever turned you on.
Well, the extraordinary thing about it was always wet. On Gluck nights. Really was quite extraordinary. It was always dry for us with Rossini, sunshine, and for Gluck, which after all was very sad opera,
yes.
It rained.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, because in that opera, of course, the heroine offers to die in place of her husband.
Yes, that's right. And then she, having agreed to die, she realises she hasn't got much time left, so she has a very good aria in Act 1 before she goes. In which she talks about the underworld, in other words, the gods of the underworld, Styx and all that.
So, box office wise, it would be a good idea if Christoph Willibald von Gluck were not on 60/40, wouldn't it? As we say.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Never mind.
The only thing I know about Gluck, because I don't know much about these kind of composers.
Say that again.
I once picked up a copy of I think I can mention it, The Listener. And
yes, you can mention it.
It had 2 articles in it. And one of them had the opening sentence that turns me off, and it says, Gluck is a hard taskmaster.
Yes.
And I didn't read any further than that. And in the same edition, it was Wimbledon, and it said, Billie Jean King is very lobbable.
Absolutely. And now it's Dennis's turn.
Oh.
Ian, having got a mark. Dennis, what can you tell me about Ginny Simms?
Ah, yes. We've got well away from Gluck, haven't we? There was a band in the 40s in America, yep. Led by a man called Kay Kaiser. And anybody of my generation will remember a song that went, Who wouldn't love you? Who wouldn't dare? And he wrote that song. And Ginny Simms was the lady who sang with him in a show. And he used to do a radio show called The College of Musical Knowledge with a character called Ishka Bibble.
Absolutely marvellous for your mark. Wish I could give you more, but I can't.
Mind you, we haven't gone all that far from Gluck, because at Glyndebourne, the conductor was called Maestro Gui, spelt G-U-I. And the Lewis Post Office could never quite understand this, and he used to get telegrams, because famous conductors get telegrams, and invariably they arrived spelt Maestro Gin. Yes.
David, you've heard of Attila the Hun. Who wrote an opera about him?
Attila the Hun?
Mm. Little known, I may say, but...
Unknown, in fact.
Next question. Yeah. No idea.
No, written in 1846, prologue and three acts, Attila, by Verdi.
Really?
Cool. Yeah.
Of course.
So, no marks. Frank, what is the meaning of Manitas de Plata?
It's a kind of light omelette with seafood. He's an instrumentalist.
Yes, what is the meaning of Manitas de Plata? His name has a meaning.
Of it's like Henry the Navigator. It's Manitas is Manitas, like Manitas is hand.
Yes.
La Plata, he's all hands and feet.
Well, you'd expect half a mark, I suppose. It really means little hands of silver, little silver hands. Manitas de Plata.
Funny name.
Doesn't it? Yes. All right. This final round is about hair. Not, as it happens, the show of that name, but songs connected in some way with hair. For example, Dennis, what will I do when yours has become the colour of silver?
You will love me just the same.
I will. When your hair has turned to silver, I will love you just the same, a mark. David, who seems to want the moon to play with?
Who seems to want the moon? As sung by Mr. Paul Robeson and Mr. Frank Muir.
Yes.
My curly-headed babby.
Yes, that's right, for your mark. Frank, Guy Mitchell's nice girl, proper girl, one of the roving kind. What hairstyle did she have?
It hung down in ringlets.
Yes. And her hair hung down in ringlets. That's your mark.
She was a nice girl, a proper girl, but yes, one of the roving kind.
Yes. Yes. Ian, for your song, please. Rather easy, I think, and I think you'll enjoy this. Who's the best barber in town?
Oh, dear. I know who the best barber in town was, but I have been happily engaged in singing in the Barber of Seville, yes, for a very, very long time. I won't say how long, but not as the high baritone who sings that particular bit of nonsense. Dr. Bartolo is my part, much lower down. However,
we'll put it down a
tone. If you will sneak it down a tone, and that may not be enough, I will attempt to do the end of it.
All right.
Having listened to so many, because they sing it just before I come on, and I'm usually standing in the wings with a poor devil who's got to do it, and if they're Italians, and they're thinking of top G's and goodness knows what, they're usually walking around going, oh, Dio, 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 Dio. And there's a tremendous... You've no idea what goes on in the wings before somebody sings this. It's tremendous. They go... Beep! And... they're licking their lips. And very often they wear... it's not a corset exactly, but it's a kind of belt, supposedly to support the diaphragm, and they're just getting it into the right position, and they're trying, because they've got to come out. It's this terrible thing, the Barber of Seville. He has this great aria, first go off, he's got nothing to warm up on, and he has to come out so gay. And you see them getting ready in the wings, and they're sort of all kind of jaunting. Oh, dear, 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 dear. I've suffered with so many, and I'm suffering at this moment. Never never mind. I'll have a go at the end of it.
You ready?
Yes.
We go down a tone from C into B flat. Okay?
Yes, that's right. Fine. I hope that's going to be all right. Something like this. Oh, Abrava Figaro, Abrava Figaro, Forte. I'll start again. It's very difficult, this. Abrava Figaro, Abrava Figaro, Abrava Figaro, Abrava Figaro, Ate Fortuna, Ate Fortuna, Ate Fortuna, del. Non mancherà. La 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 la. Ate fortuna, ate fortuna, ate fortuna, non mancherà. Son le barbiere della città, son l'alfacotam della città, della città, della città, della città. La 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 la. Brum, brum, brum. And Rossini will never forgive me.
I'm glad that was such a personal triumph for you, Ian, because we end my music there for this week, and it's a victory by one mark for David Franklin and Fred Muir.
Taking part in My Music were David Franklin, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the programme was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan.